As we continue to learn about how we are called to holiness and a deeper relationship with Christ, it's come up the whole Ignatius exercises, which can be a little bit overwhelming and a little bit daunting. But we've got an exciting program we want to share with you today. It's called Manresa. And joining us today is Father Casey Beaumier and Harriet Learson to talk more about this program and introduce it to you. And from what I understand, Father Casey, program was kind of the result of the lockdowns, the COVID lockdowns that, you know, tell me, what was it that springboarded this new way of approaching Ignatius exercises that you call Manresa?
So here at Boston College, where I work in our Institute for Advanced Jesuit Studies, we operate a publishing house called the Institute for Jesuit Sources. And when the COVID shutdown occurred, we had some opportunity on our hands to think about what can we do to be of help for people in such an unusual circumstance that all of us found ourselves in during 2020. Well, we had a retreat book that has often done well. It's written by a Jesuit named Father Joseph Tetlow, who still lives. He's in the south of our United States. And we thought about what could we do to help people make retreat. So we came up with this Manresa retreat option, which was a series of videos that we made through Zoom, all at a distance. And it accompanied this 12-week book of exercises that Father Tetlow had composed. Well, it ended up being a major hit for us. And we made friends with people like Harriet and her parishioners down at St. Raphael's in Florida. And this became a thing. So we've had people over the past 2.5 years from around the world who have been gathering online and in person, making spiritual exercises through this particular text. So that's how it got started.
So how does the Manresa program compare to the full-size Ignatius retreat, which can be, you know, I've read the book, and I thought, oh, I want to do that. And I thought, when am I going to find time to do that? So how does this compare?
It's a really important question, because the exercises that St. Ignatius wrote are ideally meant to be made over the course of 30 days of sacred silence. Well, as you just pointed out, most of us can't take 30 days out of our lives to be able to do that. So in those exercises, St. Ignatius has a series of annotations. And those annotations allow for adaptation. So there are annotated retreats, like our Manresa retreat, that adapt those particular exercises to meet people where they're at. So our retreat is made over the course of 12 weeks, and it's meant to be very gentle in the way that it allows people to take time out of their schedules and to be able to have some sacred silence and some opportunity for spiritual conversation. And it moves the heart in ways that are very similar that would have occurred over the course of 30 days of silence. So that's a little bit about the adaptation that's occurred. And this is one of many options of how those exercises have been adapted over the course of centuries since they were composed.
Father Casey, do you have any stories of people that have participated in this and how it's impacted their lives?
There are many. So it's not been unusual for me to be at a Boston College football game and someone coming up to me and saying, I know you, but you don't know me. And this is a person who has been making this retreat somewhere over the past couple of years and has recognized me from some of the videos. That delights me. It makes me so happy that in the time of the COVID, when so many of us were really living in fear and trepidation, that we were able to offer something that could be helpful and to bring some sense of inner peace, inner confidence, a capacity to endure. So little stories like that have been very interesting. And also, we're hearing from people in Korea, in different countries of Africa, who have been making the retreat over the course of these years and who would like to translate the text into their home language in order to make it even more accessible. So those kinds of outreaches are one of the miracles that have come from the COVID. I mean, we relate to people now that we would never, ever have had the opportunity to encounter. And I'm not trying to put a bow around the pandemic. It was an awful time, of course. But at the same time, there were graces that were offered that have been transformative, I think, in extraordinary ways. And I'd anticipate that we'll hear more of the same. I think we're just on the tip of some of those gifts that have been able to be born during the pandemic.
You know, that's so true that anytime you're facing any type of adversity, if you open your heart and your mind to the Lord, He will show you the graces that He wants you to receive through those situations. And that's a great example of that. You know, Harriet, now, where did you come into the picture? Did you join in during the pandemic or did you find this after the fact?
Well, actually, it was an interesting story. I had eight people and some directors that had just finished doing the spiritual exercises over the 8 months. And they said, what's next? And one of the gentlemen, Jack Lyons from our parish, called me up one day and said, hey, there's this Manresa thing. Do you know anything about it? I said, I don't know a single thing about it. And I immediately hopped online, immediately ordered the book. He ordered the book. We looked at it and we said, hey, why don't we as a group, all eight of us, do this retreat, but not do it together as a group, but do it just as somebody signing in on Father's website up there. And we all landed up in different groups around the country. Actually, I mean, I was in a New England group. And so we did the retreat and then we met on Zoom because of COVID and talked about it. And we said, this is dynamite. And we immediately decided to go to our pastor at the time and ask him to offer it in the parish. And we had just gotten a new pastor and he was like, we need to plan this. We don't. I said, it's turnkey. And so I convinced him he was just going to do it with one group. I said, no, got to be the whole parish, everybody, open it up. And I'm sort of pushy that way. And he said, okay, as long as you handle it. I said, I'll handle it. So we opened it up and we had 110 people that very first year. And they were from all over. We had people from different parts of the country come in, as well as people in our parish. And so we had coming really from three different places, from the core disciple group and then people around the country and then people in the parish. And this being our third year, we're offering it in January at the exact same time, on January 8th for 12 weeks, going right up to Holy Week or into Holy Week, depending on when you start. And one woman's doing it for the third time. She said, I love this. People say, well, why did you do something three times? I said, the story of Jesus, you can do it three times. You know, absolutely. This is about Jesus. This is about scripture. And she said, oh, the second time. And she said, well, how do I do that? I said, you buy a new book. She said, oh, that makes sense because my other one's all messed up. It's all written into. So she's doing it for the third time. I have people who have done it two times who are now doing the full exercises of St. Ignatius in the 8 month retreat. But it's, I use this phrase carefully, paint by the numbers, Father. You don't have to go anywhere except that book. It's got everything in it. All you need is your pencil or your pen or whatever. And it's totally loaded, locked, and ready to help you through the retreat.
You say you start January 8th and it runs through Holy Week. If somebody is not in the St. Peter's Berg area, can they still join in that retreat that starts on the 8th?
They can join in a Zoom group. We have people who do it individually because of their schedules. We have people who join a Zoom group. And we have people who we put together live groups in the parish in people's homes so they can do that. We may even do a hybrid group. I'm doing a hybrid spiritual exercises group for the first time this year, which is a challenge, but it's wonderful. So we can arrange it any way you wish. And we have a woman in the parish who works with me, Judy Anderson, who's been awesome in putting all this together so that everybody gets in a group and gets help and knows how to run a group. And I mean, it's so turnkey that Father has the facilitator guidelines, the prayer guidelines, and you go on the website and there are his talks. Everything is just simplistic. In fact, right before this podcast, I spoke with Todd Huber, who runs our men's group and our Exodus group in the parish. And he's going to offer it to both his Exodus and the men's group as a alternative for them to do this year for the first time. So he said it's just perfect, because if somebody's never prayed before, this takes them by the hand and leads them through. And for busy people who can't do the full hour of prayer or whatever, it says 20, 30 minutes, and people are doing 20, 30 minutes of something. And
so, you know, that's actually a very good point. Somebody, I think it had been one of the podcasts we just did, they were talking about, you can look at your phone and it'll tell you how much time you spend on social media or consuming data from your phone. And it's hard. I know how hard it is to say, oh, I really should go do this prayer thing, but I just want to see this YouTube video, or I just want to see this video, or listen to this podcast. So it's just about being disciplined, really, and taking that simple little 20 minutes. I want to ask you, Harriet, have you seen any, you know, really concrete stories that you can share with us about how this program has changed somebody's life?
A new convert and a mom and a nurse, and she has taken on leadership roles right in the parish as a result of this. I mean, she's just amazing. So, and then we have a gentleman actually, and this is not open to just Catholics at all. We have I've had Lutheran deacons, pastors. I have a gentleman who's doing the spiritual exercises, spent United Church of Christ minister. And he did it for 2 years, and this year he's doing SEAL because he was able to fit it into his program, into his schedule. And he said it was amazing, totally amazing. He said for the first time he had mystical experiences, and he said, as a minister, I really didn't pray. And I thought, wow. He said, not the way you all pray. And he said, this took me to a whole different level in my life. And he said, to enter prayer with joy and come out with joy and a sense that God is totally with me, he said, was very new to me. And he had been he is a pastor, still is a pastor. So yes, it changes lives.
Father Casey, is that a common thing that you hear from people around the country, that it changes their prayer life? It changes the way that they encounter Christ?
I do. I think one of the gifts in our present age, when people encounter something of the prayerful life, what they discover is that often ways of proceeding that they had earlier were in isolation. I think many people talk to themselves. They'll talk about the difficulties that they're having or things that bring anxiety to them, but they're doing so in a bubble. They're not relating that. And one of the gifts of prayer, of colloquy, of conversation, is that two is always greater than one. And when I pray, I'm relating, I'm going outside of myself. I take my concerns and I bring them to God. I'm not in a bubble. I'm not telling myself what I already know and what's already challenging, what's burdensome. I'm bringing that out. And when we do that, anytime we relate, instantly, there's a relief, because it's not all on us. And I think this is one of the major, major gifts that our Christianity brings. We have a capacity to relate to a person, and that person is Jesus. And when we relate to another person, automatically the trials and tribulations that we endure are not, they're not lonely. They're in communion, they're in companionship. And I think that has to be transformative. And I think oftentimes in our world today, people feel that they're at this all on their own, and it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah. I think also something that to me was enlightening was that when people get 5 minutes to share in the 1 hour meeting they have every other week on their prayer and share the graces, and people didn't know what a grace was. And one woman shared something that had happened in her family, and the facilitator said, what a fabulous grace. She said, grace? She said, that's a grace. And so to explain to people that grace is merely the God showing up in your life, that's grace. He shows up and he says hello, either through another person or through an incident or through something beautiful, that he's there all the time. And this was a new concept to people of what grace really is. I think they had no concept of what grace is.
Or even how to experience it, or when you are experiencing it.
Or the fact that it's so common that we don't recognize grace is going on all around us all the time.
That's actually interesting. I've never thought about it being common. I think of it as being rare, but you're right. If you just open your heart.
Mm-hmm. How about your heart being moved to tears when you see, 50 colors in a sunset, as we do here in Florida? That's God's creation. That's him at work with a paintbrush.
So Harry, can you share with us, someone who is signing up for this, what can they expect? What will they encounter as far as time-wise and commitment, and how does the retreat run?
Well, depending whether they're doing it individually or in a group of some sort, generally, some groups meet live, want to meet every week, others meet every other week. They get together every other week for an hour, and there's a facilitator, somebody in the group facilitates, and they have guidelines to follow, which are very simple. And everybody gets 5 minutes to share. And we suggest that groups not be bigger than 7, max 8 people, so that there is time for that and for questions. And also time to maybe view the video, but people can view the video on their own. That's the beauty of this. This can be done a lot on your own, then you come together. So it really is tailored to fit the group that you're in.
So is this something that an individual can start in their own parish, or is it better if they come to St. Raphael's or to Father Casey?
Before they they certainly could start in their own parish, but unless they have an experience of it themselves, I wouldn't recommend that. I would recommend they
do. You really need to find a mentor.
Well, just do the retreat first.
If you'd like to learn more about the Manresa program, you can visit St. Raphael's Parish website in St. Petersburg. The website address is st-raphaels.com. At the top of the page, you'll see sacraments and formation. Roll your mouse over that and a pull down shows up, and there you will see the Manresa retreat. You can click that to learn more. And remember, it starts on January 9th and runs through Easter.